The rest of the story. I don't know why they called him Jerry. That was not his name. Every other William I ever knew, they called Bill, except this one. They called him Jerry. 1935, he was a lieutenant in the Philippines. He was trying to make a homegrown Air Force out of very raw material. It was General MacArthur's idea, this native Philippine constabulary. Well, Jerry had his hands full, especially when after only a few months of his training program, an American lieutenant colonel assigned to the command, who had been watching from the sidelines, asked Jerry to teach him to fly. It couldn't be done in the first place. It's hardly normal procedure to teach an American Army officer to fly and a trainer assigned to another government. There were no other training planes available. General MacArthur would certainly frown on the practice if he found out. And yet this colonel would hang around the flight line, and he kept asking. He was a 47-year-old colonel standing on the shores of the vast air ocean, restless to take off his brass and wade in, and Jerry finally agreed. Well, now it's a few months later, and the foot soldier who wanted to fly has a few hours solo. And he and Jerry have become fast friends, so probably he doesn't have to beg very hard to get a test hop in one of the new training planes. This one's called the Boeing Kadett, K-A-Y-D-E-T. Balanced for two men, fore and aft, dual controls, one set in each cockpit and interlocking. Either student or instructor could fly it from either cockpit. The colonel insisted on trying it alone. So, Jerry put a sandbag for ballast in the rear cockpit, a bag about the same weight as a man, and the colonel took off. He did a couple of figure eights outside the boundaries of the field and then entered the pattern to land, and that's when the trouble started. On his first go-round, Jerry's student pilot made a normal approach, but once over the threshold, he couldn't seem to get the tail down into stalling position. He couldn't slow the plane down to land. When the second go-round was started, the engine sounded fine, but the plane climbed like a cripple. It circled once more and approached to land, but again, no flare-out. It was a shallow nosedive. In the cockpit, the student pilot's face was tense behind his goggles as he strained with all of his might. The plane at first nosed down, shuddered, eased up, finally stalled out in a more or less three-point landing. And when the cadet taxied to a stop at the hangar, Jerry ran over to find the fledgling pilot still tugging at the controls. "The stick won't come all the way back," he said. "It took all the strength I had to make that landing." Well, then they checked the sandbag in the rear cockpit. That bag of sand, placed back there for ballast, had slipped forward. It had not been thoroughly secured. It had slipped forward, and it was wedged against the control stick, forcing the stick forward, forcing the nose down. Well, Jerry Lee did not have to explain to General MacArthur, and they all lived happily ever after. And they were as happy, anyway, as men with a lust for new horizons can ever really be. Jerry became a BG and went back to the Philippines. Brigadier General William L. Lee, Vice Commander of our 13th Air Force. His student pilot, the colonel whose life once hung balanced against a bag of sand, was Dwight D. Eisenhower. Now you know the rest of the story.